Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and the Lord our God has so much to say. The Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth in every way. When people draw near to Him sincerely, those are the people that He can talk to, relate to, and help. Those are the ones that will hear Him out and make adjustments. The guidance of the Holy Spirit is gentle. He's a gentleman. And God loves us so much. It's just amazing how much God loves us. And He thinks of everything. His gentle guidance is what protects us and blesses us in every way of life. Now, it's up to us to make the adjustment once He gives us wisdom. Now, when I got saved, I said, I want to learn about my Savior, and I want to learn also about the Father. So I started with everything that Jesus said do. When I first started reading the Bible, I started in Genesis, and it gave me an Old Testament foundation. And then I got saved, and every night I would read the next chapter consecutively. I started in Genesis 1, and every night I would read one chapter. But on lunch I would read about Jesus, because I wanted to understand what God expected of me, and I wanted to agree with God on everything. I saw how the pattern of man continually did the opposite of what God said do, and it always was a high cost. And I saw the sincerity of God, that God was reaching out to me and trying to get us back on board. And then He told Adam not to eat off the tree. Adam ate off the tree. He told man to repent, you know, in the days of Moses. I read it when I got to the Exodus. I saw how man just kept failing and failing, and they always did the wrong thing. And why? Why would they do that? I'm looking at it from God's perspective, because the Word of God gives you a God's eye view. And the Lord gives you, He gave us every opportunity. All you have to do is read Isaiah chapter 5. He planted a perfect vineyard and made it situated perfect and made man to dress it, and man brought forth wild grapes. Now, God did everything right, but people make the wrong choice. And I said, I don't want to do that. You know, I wanted to know that I would obey God if I got saved. And my life was in jeopardy before I got saved. I didn't know how serious everything was. But I wanted to know, if I named the name of Jesus, I wanted to know I'd live according to His word. I didn't know He'd help me do it. But I found out, you know, you learn as you grow. I trusted Him. I thank God for protecting me when I was lost, because I was lost. I know the difference. I know what it's like to be lost, and I know what it's like to be saved. And saved is much better. When you're lost, you can do anything you think in your mind and go to sleep at night and not have a care in the world. You learn how to lie. You learn how to present yourself the way you want to be known. And you know how to hide your sin, or you think you do. And you think nobody knows, but they really do. But it's no such thing as a secret. A secret is just something that's in the mind of the person that think they got a secret. Because anytime something outstanding happens, people talk about it quick. But they don't tell. They may not say nothing, but that don't mean they don't know it. Now, anyway, nevertheless, I'm not trying to get off on a tangent. But when I felt the presence of God, His peace, I had peace. When I asked Jesus to save me, and I said, nothing's going to change this. I turned my back on the world with all that I could. Now, I didn't know everything. I barely got a grip on the Lord. But I thank God He had a grip on me. Because when I was tempted, I said, Lord, I don't want to think this way. I want You to help me. And He spared me. He kept me from falling. He helped me stand, because, you know, I was motivated to live right. But I was tempted. I didn't like living tempted, and I asked Him questions. Now, that's where the Holy Spirit came in. And He taught me whatever I needed to know. And the Lord our God, He evaluates everything. He knew just what to tell me to help me in my situation. And he schooled me on what to do and how to process everything and what to do next and how to do it. And I obeyed him. That's how I learned it. Now, this can happen with anybody. Now, there are a lot of wonderful people out there that they try not to sin. They are tempted. And they manage not to sin. But see, that kind of temptation is torment. But what I want to talk about today is, yesterday, I want to finish up from yesterday's broadcast. Yesterday's broadcast, if things get past your filter, now, I like metaphors because they help you understand. God knows that people are trying to draw near to him and they're doing the best they know. Sometimes there are details they just don't know. There are things that I never heard over the pulpit, but I heard them in the prayer room. And there are things that I heard in the prayer room, never heard, you know, over the pulpit, same thing. But what I'm saying is this. I've seen people, I believe they were sincere, and I believe they wanted to know the best way to do things. But sometimes when you're convinced, then it's hard to learn something else. Because the Lord told me, I said, Lord, he told me what I needed to know once and in business. I said, and when he told me that, I said, Lord, that will work. How come you didn't tell me that a long time ago? I needed to know this months ago. He said, when a man leans to his own ways, he can't learn my ways. Now that clued me in to something. Once you've been taught a certain way, if somebody tells you something different, you already got a shield against it. You believe whatever you was taught. And sometimes what you're taught, not always, and I'm not trying to bash preachers, I love pastors, but if you're taught a certain way, in order to receive what more truth, you got to sometimes deal with what you believe. I'll give an example, the pre-tribulation rapture. I was taught pre-tribulation rapture. I know the scriptures. I can go to them and I can build the same case that my pastor did. But, and then I heard that there were people that believed that the tribulation would happen, the rapture would happen after the tribulation or even during the tribulation. So I never heard their cases. So I stuck with what I believe because it seemed perfectly real. Until I heard Irvin Baxter. And I almost turned the channel when he said that the church is going to go through the tribulation. To me, to my Pentecostal mind, that's just hearsay. That's just heresy. I said, wait a minute, you never heard, you can't judge it if you don't hear it. And I listened to him. He added another aspect that I never saw before. And I believe he's perfectly right in the things that he said. Or at least he's onto something he's giving more information. He's either giving more information or he's right. Then I heard Pastor Lankford, and Pastor Lankford said something that made even more sense. Now, both of them made sense. I'm not trying to, one's better than the other, but what Pastor Lankford said, he said the tribulation will come just before the seal judgments. Now, that fits scripture. Now, the reason I was able to make the adaptions and the adjustments is because Jesus already put Satan under our foot. We don't need Jesus to come rescue us from Satan because he put Satan under our feet. It don't make sense. Okay, Satan's giving you a hard time, and then Jesus said, well, let me go get my church because Satan's giving them a hard time. Instead of the church doing what they're supposed to do, it's our responsibility to stop the works of darkness. To say something about it so the angels can fight on our behalf. So, and I operate in authority, so I know I'm not concerned with what Satan is trying to do. I just told him what he can't do. I said, you're not starting a war while I'm on the ground. I said, I say something against you. And I don't depend on others. Now, I say that boldly because of what Jesus said in Luke 10. He gave us power to tread on serpents, scorpions, and what he said, all the power of the enemy. That includes Satan and everything he's doing. I can shut it down. And you can shut it down. And we all need to be shutting it down. Because there are witches and sorcerers, Illuminati people trying to build it up. But see, All the power of the enemy means all the power of the enemy. I got God's word on it. I spoke it in faith, and heaven's going to back me up, and I'm not ashamed. I'm not afraid. I don't care what people think. Now, when you got God's word on something, you stand on it. You be like the dog with a T-bone steak. You don't let it go. Now, adjustments can be made when you love God. When you really, really, really want his will in your life and you don't want Satan's will in your life. Now, you can work. All you have to do from there is fill your heart with God's word. And as the Holy Spirit help you make clue you in on what to do, you act on it. You do it. And it becomes part of your life. And it renews your life. It blesses your life. You're following the peace. Your joy increases. You're effective now. Now the Lord can anoint you and anoint you to do greater things because you're stable. You're not unstable. People that go back and forth, they're unstable. God can't, he can't pour more anointing on them because if something got past their filter, if the world is in their life somewhere, they're going to rise up against what God is doing. Now, yesterday we looked at Acts chapter 4. We'll look at it again. And we made it. I love that chapter. The point I was making yesterday, and I'll go back over it, because I wanted to explain more than I did. I just ran out of time. When people have a measure of 11, just 11 of pride in their heart, if they got 11 of pride in their heart, they've been to school, they're well known as a man of God. People respect them. And then here come a guy half their age, and they're speaking under the anointing. They're speaking what comes out of the prayer room and not just parroting what they've heard. They're speaking straight from the Holy Ghost. Some people, and this happens, I hate to say it, but it happens. Some people their pride causes them to downplay. I've been treated that way. I know a lot of preachers that have been treated that way. Now, it's not just a problem, it's an epidemic. But nobody says anything because the preachers that are hurt by their predecessors, they don't want to say anything against their pastors that they love. They love them. And me and a friend of mine, we was talking about how he was talking about how he would get invited to church. Somebody would get the pastor to invite him to church. And then when he get there, the deacon board is telling him, well, we don't preach against sin. We don't preach against homosexuality. We don't preach against this. And he know that they're not going to invite him back anyway. So when he get up there, he just preached what God gave him. And I said, if somebody do me like that, I say, why don't you just preach your own message? Don't tell me what to preach. If I can't just flow in the Holy Ghost, I'm not interested. That's what I gotten to that point because I don't compromise. And if you really you don't want to preach on, he did it anyway. Older's different than I am, you know. Odie went to a bar and sang church songs and people start rejoicing. So sometimes you need a wild one. God got all kind of people. And I thank God for all of them. But nevertheless, whatever I do, I'm not going to come from. I'm going to preach what God gave me. Sin will kill you. And it's not love to turn your head and let people drown in sin. That's not love. That's the world. And people are doing this because they didn't deal with the world. If you don't drive, I made the point clear as I possibly could. When Israel didn't drive out their Canaanites, God gave them the land, and he gave them the land to save the whole world so he wouldn't have to destroy it again. And they knew this. If you don't drive out sin, it's going to spread and it's going to mess up everything. You won't have a nice place to live and you won't have families to take root. Everybody would have been fornicators if they didn't invade Canaan land. Everybody would have been a witch if they didn't drive those Canaanites out. Now they drove out some, and it was enough to save us. But if they had gotten rid of all of them, Israel wouldn't have went blind. They wouldn't have got driven out of the land that God gave them by the king of Assyria and then Nebuchadnezzar. But thanks be to God, the prophets and that made God cut covenant with his people, and he made covenants, and he brought Israel back. They're back to their land today. God kept his word. We need to keep ours. It's our responsibility to do so. Now, the point is this. I know I went around a circle, but the point is this. If you don't deal with the Canaanite problem, now the Canaanite problem represents our lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. That's the world system in a nutshell. That's the root of the world system. If you don't deal with it, it's going to cause you not to be effective. Now, here go the, this is Acts chapter 4. Now, I want you to get a firm example of this. The Sadducees and the priest, the captain of the temple, these were the men of God in their own mind. They thought that they were doing what God wanted. They crucified Jesus thinking that they were doing God's service because they believed a lie. They were leavened by the world and didn't realize it. Or they didn't care. But when they couldn't find a scriptural reason to murder Jesus, only their pride had them to do that. Now this is a big problem. Jesus told his disciples to be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. People that have unchecked sin in their life. They allow sin in their life. Herod even wanted to hear what Jesus had to say, but he didn't let go of sin. Jesus called him a fox. I want you to understand that in order for the move of God is holy. He's not going to allow an unholy man to represent him in greater capacities. Now people, see, God anointed Saul with a vial of oil. He anointed David with a horn of oil. You see that? Saul couldn't be trusted with a vial of with a horn of oil. He could only be trusted with a vial of oil. A vial is small, like a test tube. Now, and a horn is big, like a ram's horn. Now, that's what I believe in. I don't know. I never seen the horn of oil that he used, but I imagine that's what it is. Now, anyway, Acts chapter 4. Now, please receive this example because there's so many more. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. So you got the men and their families, 20,000-25,000 people, hopefully. Verse 5, and it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Ananias the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. See, when the lame man got healed, a revival broke out. 5,000 got saved again. So, and Ananias the high priest, verse 7, I'm sorry. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, see, in a situation like this, always give way to the Holy Ghost. Yield to the Holy Ghost. He knows what to do. He knows how to break yokes. Peter was a man that God poured his anointing on and made him the chief apostle. And then Peter, being filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done unto the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doeth this man stand before you whole." He said this by the Holy Ghost, under the anointing. And they could feel it in their chest, all of them. "This is the stone which was set at nothing." The word says naught, but naught means nothing. "This is the stone which was set at nothing of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. These were fishermen. They were common men. They were not the elite in the eyes of the chief priests and the Sadducees. They were not. They didn't go to the Bible college. These were men of the prayer room, so to speak. They had been with Jesus. Now, instead of them yielding and getting in on the salvation of Jesus, guess what they did? They didn't like it. They didn't repent because they had sin in their life. They had the sin of pride in their life. This can happen. See, Jesus told his disciples to be aware of the leaven of Herod and the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod, because it will limit you. It will cause you to act the wrong way. It will cause you to work against God. It will cause you to not believe on Jesus. It will cause you to resist the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And this is not just something that happens every now and then. This is an epidemic in the church today. There are many pastors that didn't deal with something, and then when it's time for them to make the perfect decision, they can't. They are limited by the leaven that they allow or didn't deal with. You know, they said a lot of pastors are into pornography. They didn't deal with it when it was just a temptation. Now they can't stop watching it. That's just one problem. Another one, the way they treat upcoming people. See, if you preach to if somebody come to your church and they grow up in the church, they are learning. They are learning. If they apply themselves, they have the same foundation as a man that went to college. If they apply themselves, they can operate in the word just like those that taught them. But the problem is, a lot of pastors, it's a worldly thing. People see you a certain way and they think that's how you are. You come to church, you listen, and you go home. They never hear you speak. They don't know about the miracles that happen on your job as you live the word of God. Nobody does unless you reveal it. There are people that get saved and then they apply the word. And they're growing up. The Lord is teaching. They go to the prayer room and learn some more. So when they minister, they do it well. Now, I've seen this happen. I've been going to church all my life. Now, my dad, he would help young men coming up. They always talk about how he let them preach and he encouraged them. A lot of men of God with that. God, my daddy encouraged them. He didn't care how good they did. He encouraged it. So in my young Pentecostal mind, I thought all men was like my daddy. Now, I was in a situation, nobody knew my dad. So when they don't know your dad, and you're in another organization altogether, and to the Pentecostal mind, I was just a son of a common Methodist pastor. They don't know my dad. They don't know that he's the man that forgave the man that killed his parents. They don't know that he's the man that walked the walk and talked the talk. They don't know that he worked a job, preached out of town, and he had to go out of town every weekend all of my life until he retired. Even before I was born, he never preached locally. He always had to drive at least an hour. And I never heard him complain. Now, that's my dad. They didn't notice. If I had been around Methodist pastors, they probably would have let me preach because they know my dad. They respected him. But in the being a young Pentecostal, nobody know. They don't know my dad. They don't know me either. I'm a stranger. So if I preach, I noticed that I would only preach once, and I knew that I was getting a message from God. And I can tell by the people were receiving the word, or they seemed like they did. I could feel when God gives you something to say and you say it, you learn things. You learn things about people. God have you to say things you didn't plan on because you're under the anointing. That's valuable to me, but it wasn't valuable to them. Very few people will have you back. There are some, God has some good men of God out there that just want to do right. And they will. Some are more honorable than others. But see, the ones that have pride, they have a problem. Just like, no different than these Sadducees and the high priest had a problem with Peter. These people had a problem with Peter. Read verse 13 again. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. They marveled. They had enough sense to marvel. And they took knowledge of them. They started asking questions that they had been with Jesus. Now they know. And beholding the man that was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. And they all tried to trap Jesus, and they couldn't do it. Did they repent and say, you know, this is right? No, they didn't repent. The Bible tells us they didn't. Look what they did. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. Why would they want to? This is the power of the leaven of Herod and the leaven of the Pharisees. It don't change. It don't repent. He said, but that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them, that they henceforth to no man, that they speak henceforth to no man, or speak no more to no man in this name. We got to shut this down. They are an enemy against Jesus. What's the difference of a modern day Pentecostal church? A man come in and do the will of God. You've been trying to get people on board with God. Now somebody come in and assist you in love, and you shut that down. What's the difference? This is evil. Now, I like to believe the best about people, but I yield to the Holy Spirit. I don't make judgments one way or the other anymore. People are what they are. And the Lord's been, he's been trying to help me see that, so I've been paying more attention. People ought to have chosen. They have made a lockdown decision on what they want to do. I was praying for a pastor once, and I'm trying to, you know, break, you know, I wanted to see his ministry flourish like God wanted it to. And I'm in the living room praying, and the Lord, he stopped me. He said, he's got to make up his mind. I went to church, and the next Sunday, he said, the Lord told me, I got to make up my mind. Some people will not make up their mind to obey God and reject the works of darkness. Now, I don't know the details of him and what he's doing, but when the Lord told me that, I got up and went and did something else. Because people got to change. They got to make up their mind. When people, if you keep turning on the computer, peeking at the naked women and won't repent, what is God supposed to do with you? How can he put more anointing on a person that act like that? Why can't people just be sincere and live in integrity? Throw that computer away if you have to. Go in the prayer room and get it fixed. But the leaven won't let them. And God can't build on top of junk. This is junk. They want to shut the men of God down because they preached in Jesus' name and they wouldn't repent. It's a notable miracle. People need to be healed. You can learn to do this too. You can be included. But when you love the world, you can't. When you love the world, you cannot honor Jesus. You're going to find a way. You're going to eventually have, you might preach his name in a platform to because you know it's acceptable. People know it, but you can't go forward with him because the world is going to restrict you. That's the point I'm trying to make. The leaven of the world will restrict you just like it restricted them in modern times. And it doesn't have to be that way. They ended up wanting to put these men in jail. This is wickedness. You can't control it. And it will control you. It's dangerous. Now, some people they don't have a problem with pride or lust. Some people have a problem with greed. I'm out of time. We'll pick up here tomorrow. So next time, remember, I love